taken from Revelation 19, verses 6 to 10, page 1247 in your Bibles. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear." Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." At this, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." This is the word of the Lord.
And this morning's gospel reading is from John chapter 2, reading the first 11 verses. If you're wanting to follow, it's on page 1064 of the Church Bibles. So let us hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He didn't realize where it had come from, though the servants who'd drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine after guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do sit down. It seemed to me, as I sat and prayed and reflected on those two passages, that the common theme that comes out between them is that the best is yet to come. On the one hand, Jesus changes the ordinary village wine into the water, rather, but replaces the ordinary village wine with the best wine at the feast. And John has a vision of the glory of the wedding supper of the Lamb. And I think it's a really challenging and important message for us to hear this morning, because my feeling is, and I put it to you, that that's not how life feels. A couple of weeks ago, I renewed our extended warranty on our dishwasher. And I actually rang them up to say, I've realised that the amount we're paying year by year to you in extended warranty would actually, over time, buy us a new dishwasher, so I'm going to cancel my contract. And she said, "I do understand. You know, yes, you are paying a lot. What if I were to offer you this and offered me a very low price?" I went, "Oh, all right then." And the point is that we all know that our white goods, whether it be our dishwashers, our washing machines, our fridges, our cookers, whatever they may be, they won't last. And we're amazed when they last, you know, many years. You know, it's wonderful. But we know that gradually they are, to use accountants' terms that I don't quite understand, depreciating. You know, they're not what they used to be. And one day, you'll have the pain of having to buy a new one to replace it because things wear out. It doesn't feel like things are getting better. I went to see the surgeon the week before last to look at my knee. He said, "Oh, your knee's really rather good." I went, "Hang on a minute, you told me I've got bad arthritis in it and that I've got a torn meniscus, the cartilage under the kneecap. So that's not so good, is it?" "Well, it's all relative," he said. "I mean, what I'm saying is you won't have to have it replaced for 3, maybe 5 years. "Oh, thanks, you know." And the fact is, Mrs. Coupland and I are both all too aware at our very young age of 58 that things wear out, that things are not getting better in the body department. And many of you know it even more than we do. But the message this morning is the best is yet to come. So it's a challenge to us. Jesus turns the wine into the best wine. Sorry, I keep saying that, don't I? The water into the best wine. He doesn't just produce substandard or standard. He produces the best. He takes what is not so great, what is ordinary, what is everyday, and makes it something really special. And that's what he wants to do in our lives. So I believe he is saying through this miracle. Because it's not just this miracle. Again and again, and I'll just give you two other examples, Jesus comes and transforms a situation and takes it from the ordinary into something extraordinary. So do you remember the conversation he has with a woman at a well in Samaria? He says, "Give me a drink of water." And she thinks, "Okay, I'll get you a drink of water out of the well." And then he says, "If you knew," this is John 4, 11 to 13, "if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Everyone who drinks this water," in other words, out of the well, "will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst." And she says, "Oh, look at you then. You're greater than our father." Because he's saying the well water is just ordinary, but I have special water. Now, it wasn't until I went to Vicar Factory, to Theological College, that I learned that living water was the phrase for spring water or running water. It's like fresh water. Because in Israel, there's not a lot of water. Water is a precious commodity. And so you store it in great cisterns, and you store it in jars, and you store it wherever you can. And Jesus is saying, "I don't bring you kind of slightly stale, been standing there a long while water. I bring fresh, running, living water, the best." And sort of a modern equivalent would be, "I bring you sparkling water." Jesus offers the best. And in John chapter 10 and verse 10, he says, "I've come that they may have life, but not any ordinary life," my brackets, "but have it to the full." And like most of you, I've grown up with all sorts of different Bible translations. The one of my teenage years was the Revised Standard Version. "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly," is how they translated it. The New Century Version says, "life in all its fullness." And Eugene Peterson's Message Version says, "I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." That's what Jesus promises. That's what he brings. The best is yet to come. But let's be honest, when most people look at the church, the general expectation is it's kind of, no, cheap plonk. Is that not the case? I mean, we suffer from the phantom dumper. Now, we don't know who it is, but every so often, either on the front step or by the office door, a big black bin bag appears with stuff in it. And it's secondhand stuff that someone wants to get rid of, and they think, "Oh, well, the church will take it." Because, you know, the church is grateful for any old secondhand rubbish that you can throw out. That's the kind of picture that people have. And this is apparently a true story. It is amazing and, to me, hilarious. The Butterball Turkey Company in the United States took a phone call in its helpline from a woman who asked whether it was safe to eat the turkey that she'd found in her freezer. It had been there for 23 years. The person at the turkey company said, "Well, it would probably be safe as long as the freezer had been kept on the whole time and the temperature had never gone above freezing." But conscious of her company's reputation, she said, "Even if the turkey was safe, she wouldn't recommend eating it as it wouldn't have much flavour left." "That's what I thought," the caller said. "We're going to give it to the church." says it all. Jesus says, no, the church is the place where the best is yet to come. God is the person who brings the best. It reminds me of my time as the dog's body at King's College Choir School when I'd left school and had a gap year job. And the chaplain came in one day, he said, we're serving college port at communion tonight. That should make them happy. And I was thinking, you know, is it a way to kind of grow the 9 o'clock congregation that we put on the pew sheet? Next week, Châteauneuf-du-Pape, 1995. But then I thought, no, because I would still take a sip because I don't like wine. But some of you would be, oh, that's the whole chalice gone. But that's the picture, that Jesus brings the new wine of the kingdom, that Jesus brings the best. The best is yet to come. And as we look ahead to this new year, God has so much more. God has new things for us. And can we believe that? Do we believe that? That God has fresh things in store. At this point, I was going to put a picture up of the books on my shelf. Like, look, I've got these new books to read. But I thought, actually, you'll look at those and who would want to read those? Apart from you, Simon. So I didn't put that up. But new experiences, new insights, new truths he wants to teach us. New opportunities, new relationships, maybe new friendships. God has new things in store for us. And he wants to bless us week by week, month by month, year by year. And I suspect that some of you are still not convinced because you're thinking, yeah, you've told us you're 58. I'm a bit older than that. But I look at Derek and Anne Hurst and I think, there's an example for you. Derek is in his 90s now, but he's discovered the joy of house group quite recently. In fact, the two of them have. They love it. I think this is, you know, this is really fascinating. It's wonderful. Not ashamed of discovering God has new things in store. In a slightly different track. I love it that Derek was telling about some new recipe he'd found. You know, at his age, he said, oh, this is great, I found a new recipe. God has new things in store for us, even in our 90s. And that's what God wants to say to us. The best is yet to come. Whether you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, I don't think anyone here has reached 100 yet, so we're okay with that. So, I can advertise here that in our 9 o'clock sermons, we're looking at a series on the Lord's Prayer in a few weeks to come. Because we believe God has fresh truths to bring us from that ancient and glorious prayer. Next week, I am looking forward to the big breakfast. I know not everybody does. Obviously, Ruth Roos does from the picture. But it's a great opportunity for conversation with people I don't normally have time to have conversations with. And to have a longer conversation than there's time for over coffee at church. I look forward to the big breakfast. And I'm hoping that next week I will have some exciting news for 2018 to share with you. Can't be absolutely sure, but that is the hope. So I know a lot of you think, oh, it's 10:30 and, you know, there's lots of younger people and perhaps I won't come. I encourage you to come this year or you might miss out. Yes, Glyn, I noticed Glyn was really tucking in with great gusto on the picture. Then in the autumn, there's the opportunity of the Women's Weekend away. Now, I was talking to John Howland before the service. We've decided not to go this year. It's a wonderful opportunity. And last week, we had different people sharing at the different services how it had blessed and encouraged and inspired them. Including those who'd been for the first time. So think about going to that, because God has the best yet to come, and that's a great place to receive from him. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, a group of St. Paul's members are going to Haiti in 2 months' time. Now, I'm not going on that, but I still think it's a wonderful opportunity for me to learn from them what God is doing in Haiti, the new things that he's doing, the new opportunities there. The enthusiasm that they will come back with to share that. Things to look forward to, where God has fresh truth, fresh experience, fresh revelation. I am going on a course that Dale Kirk is running for leaders in our church in February and March, and several other people here are too. It's not something we've done before, something Stu and I have been talking out for a long time, and Dale. to grow in our leadership. And I'm looking forward to that, to learning, to new insights. And I'm hoping it's on the back of your news sheet to pray for, because I'm hoping it'll bless our church with new insights and encouragement that all of us will benefit from together. And I'm going to give you a sneak preview of something that nobody else in the church has seen. This is the new St. Paul's website, which will probably go live this week once Caroline has worked out how to get the sermons from the computer onto the website. That's the little stumbling block at the moment. We've got the sermons ready. We've got the page ready to receive them, but they're not quite there. But we want to say, you know, the church is for now. The church is the best, because this is the place where we meet with God, and it's the place where the best is yet to come. In this life, where Jesus transforms our water into wine, dull cistern sitting there for a long time, water into fresh living water, and gives us life in all its fullness. But you heard in our first reading how that goes on beyond this life as well. That for those who know and love the Lord Jesus, the best is yet to come beyond this life. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Now, I know that Revelation can be a bit of a challenging book, and we don't often read it or study it or preach on it because there's all these beasts and plagues and four horsemen and seals, not the barking kind, but the kind you break. And what is it all about? What is 666? Well, the point of the book is to say to Christians who are facing persecution, opposition, and struggling in their faith, Jesus wins. That's the message from start to finish that runs through it. That's the big picture, which I'm actually preaching about tonight. So last week, Fiona didn't preach on this passage, but this was last week's reading. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Revelation 5 and 6 are glorious hymns of praise and worship to Jesus the Lamb, because Jesus wins. That's the message of the book. And in a world full of suffering and frustration, full of violence and oppression, full of hunger and climate change, Revelation 21:4 says, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's the promise of Revelation. That's the message of Revelation, that the best is yet to come. Do we believe that? Do we know that? Do we trust that? Paul says in Romans 8, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Thankfulness is good. You've heard Glyn speak about it. You've heard me speak about it. It's one of our favorite topics. Thankfulness is a great thing, to be able to look back and say, thank you, God, for all the good things you've done. But I suspect that hope is actually even better. Not hope wishy-washy, I hope that the weather clears up a bit for this afternoon, but the confident hope and faith in the glories that are yet to be revealed in this world and the next. When we have that in our lives, it's truly transformative. Chris Wright says of the kingdom of God that is to come, all human culture, language, literature, art, music, science, business, sport, technological achievement, actual and potential, all available to us, and all of it with the poison of evil and sin sucked out of it forever. That's his picture of the kingdom of God, of heaven, of the life to come, that we will share in. I don't know, Glyn, if Tranmere Rovers will be playing there, but it'll be the best. It'll be the best. The best is yet to come. That is God's word to us this morning, to give us hope, to give us confidence, to give us courage, to give us that ability to look forward to the future, not with fear, but with faith, with confidence, with hope, that because of what Jesus has done, is, and will be, the best is yet to come. Let's pray. Lord, this is a glorious truth, an amazing promise. And we confess that, especially on dull grey days, or particularly at 3 a.m, we find it hard to believe it. Or indeed when we're sitting with a surgeon or a doctor who's giving us bad news. Lord, plant this faith so deep within our hearts. This trust in Jesus, this knowledge of who he is, what he has done, who he is to us, and what he will be. That we have faith, that we have hope, that we have confidence in you and in the future. So that we can truly, not just believe, but know that in you, with you, the best is yet to come. And we pray it for each other as well as for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. So let us stand and declare our faith in this glorious God, the Creator, the Redeemer, the coming King.